And welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. J. Wynn Russick, our theater critic, joins us with our weekly theater review. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about a show at the Maryland Ensemble Theater in Frederick. It's called Curse of the Starving Class. The title is kind of familiar to a lot of folks, even if they don't know the play itself. I guess this was a big breakthrough play for the playwright Sam Shepard.
It was. It was first produced in London in 1977, and it's also often seen as the first play in a trilogy he wrote about families, particularly about fathers and sons and siblings. The other two plays are Buried Child, which went on to win the Pulitzer Prize, and True West, which just ended a high-profile Broadway revival. The plot of Curse of the Starving Class has autobiographical elements. It's about a family on a farm in rural California, mother, father, grown son, young teenage daughter. They live in a dilapidated house. The son and daughter are trying desperately to hold things together. The father, like Sam Shepard's own father, was a World War II pilot, and now he's become a violent alcoholic. He's broken down the front door of the house before the play begins. There's wood scattered all over. It's kind of the flip side of a sitcom about a happy American family. This is a dysfunctional family whose problems come closer to Greek tragedy. There's a lot of talk about trying to get a fresh start. The first we hear of this is the mother telling the son that she's selling their house.
I'm selling the house. I'm selling the house. The land, the orchard, the stock, the tractor, everything. It all goes, the whole kit and caboodle.
It's not yours.
It's mine as much as it is his.
What, you're not going to tell him about it?
No, I'm not going to tell him. I shouldn't have told you. So just keep it under your hat.
How can you sell the house? It's not legal even.
It's in both our names.
Then he has to co-sign the sale 50-50.
I already checked with a lawyer, and it's legal.
What about the mortgage? It's not paid off, and you've borrowed on it.
Don't start questioning me. I've gone through all the arrangements already.
With who?
I have a lawyer friend.
As Tolstoy said, all unhappy families are unhappy in their own way. That's Julie Herber and Sean Byrne in Curse of the Starving Class at Maryland Ensemble Theater. So, Judy, how would you describe Sam Shepard's style, and how do you think the Maryland Ensemble Theater's cast handles it?
Well, the language, especially in the longer monologues, is almost poetic laced with profanity. And there's a rawness to the characters, certainly in this play. They're very rough around the edges. Maryland Ensemble Theater is very well suited to this material. The direction is by Peter Ray. This family is dealing with very basic needs, food, having a roof over their heads, and a hunger for something bigger and harder to define or pin down. They're also people who get in their own way. They repeat bad habits and patterns until they're trapped. These patterns, the curse, repeats over generations. Even their names are almost identical, as if their identity is predetermined. The father is Weston, the son is Wesley, the mother is Ella, the daughter is Emma. Carly Cole plays the daughter. She makes a very natural, credible young teen. She has a speech about liquid dynamite tempers of the men in the family, her grandfather, her father, her brother. One of the main plot threads is that the son, played by Sean Byrne, we just heard, turns into his father, who's played by Tad Janes. At the end of the play, the son is actually wearing the father's clothes. The mother is supposed to be more genteel. She's supposed to come from professional folks. But in the clip we just heard, Julie Herber's yelling, well, she can yell with the best of them, and she can also swear with the best of them. There's a lot of self-delusion in this family. The daughter thinks she can run off to Mexico and become an auto mechanic, a short-order cook, and a novelist. The father thinks he can make money off a worthless piece of desert land that some swindler sold him. This clip, next, will give you an idea of the relationship he has with his son.
What's in the bag?
Groceries? What else? Somebody's got to feed this house.
Well, what kind of groceries?
Artichokes. What do you think?
Artichokes?
Yeah, good desert artichokes. Got them out in Hot Springs for half price.
You went all the way out there for artichokes?
Of course not. We think I am. An idiot or something. I was out there looking for my land.
What land?
My desert land. Now stop talking. Everything was all right until you came in here. I was talking to myself and everything was all right.
Desert artichokes. Oh, yeah, there's a delicacy. That's Sean Byrne and Tad Janes, Curse of the Starving Class. So, Judy, in addition to the performance style of this Sam Shepard play, how about the look? Is there a distinct look to a Shepard play? And how does the Maryland Ensemble Theater handle that part?
There is a distinct look. It's kind of a cross between rugged and falling apart, and that also describes the characters, frankly. The refrigerator in this play is almost a character in itself. The set's by Ira Domser. The refrigerator is a dirty, smudged, old appliance. And staring into this refrigerator, which is usually empty, is like a reflex action for some of these characters. The walls are down to the lath. Mud and blood figure into the look of this show. I should also mention there's a live lamb in the production. The lamb is supposed
no
to...
No good play is without a live lamb,
exactly.
As I always say.
And you know that old advice to actors, don't perform with children, dogs, or in this case, lambs. But this particular lamb is supposed to have maggots. The son brings it inside to keep it warm. The father and son at different times each deliver monologues to this bleeding lamb. It's not a cute little white Easter lamb. It's a dirty, matted brown lamb. But I have to say, even this grubby lamb adds some heart and some heartbreak. In this case, you might actually find yourself feeling more sympathetic towards the lamb than the people. And that's okay.
Ah, so like in Greek tragedies usually produce catharsis for the audience, right? I mean, these guys are yelling at each other the whole night. How do you feel by the time you walk out of the theater?
Well, I didn't find it cathartic. It's not exactly Greek tragedy, but it's certainly aiming for that level. On the surface, this production is more of a cautionary tale about a toxic family mired in its own toxins. That could potentially distance an audience, but the play is saying larger things. For example, the brother tells his sister that losing their house to speculators and unscrupulous lawyers and developers means more than just losing a house. It means losing a country. But the problem is not just blood-sucking outsiders. Everyone in this family, every character in this play, for that matter, is out for himself. And the family members are stuck. They can't help themselves, much less each other. They can't cooperate or work together. And they're on the fringes, the outskirts of society, what used to be the frontier. But there's no more frontier. There's no room for them. Instead of salvation, the speech at the end of the play suggests mutual destruction. I have to say also, though, the play may have more relevance now as the gap between the haves and the have-nots widens in this country.
So in the end, I mean, this play, Curse of the Starving Class, do you see it as a negative or a positive outlook on America? And by the way, what's your outlook on the Maryland Ensemble's production, ultimately?
Well, the answer to whether this play itself is negative or positive can depend on the production and, I guess, on where the country is at the time that it's being done. I've seen the play before. This time I saw it as negative, even scary and upsetting. These aren't faults with Maryland Ensemble's production. I came away with a lambs to the slaughter feeling, very bleak.
As it were.
Yes, yes. But this stems from an interpretation of the play as a cautionary tale, and that comes across very strongly at Maryland Ensemble Theater.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see a live lamb in a play. I mean, you piqued my interest. That's Sam Shepard's Curse of the Starving Class. It's at the Maryland Ensemble Theater in Frederick. And we've got more information on our website, wypr.org/midday. So, Judy, at the Hippodrome, coming next week is Come From Away. We're not going to have a review, but you're going to have a conversation with a couple of folks who know a little bit about that play.
Right, the two people who created it, Irene Sankoff and David Hine. This is an extraordinary musical. I reviewed it for you when it tried out for Broadway at Ford's Theater in Washington. Tom, I hope that you and our listeners get to see this.
We are going Tuesday night.
Glad to hear it.
Looking forward to it. All right, thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Tom.
Jay Wynn Russick is our theater critic. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow on the Midday News Wrap, analysis of the redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. It was released by Attorney General William Barr a couple of hours ago. We'll talk about it with Cleta Mitchell. She's a political law attorney and a former counsel to the Republican Party. Plus, we'll talk about it with Ronald Weiss. He's the dean of the University of Baltimore's School of Law and a former assistant attorney general in the Obama administration. Plus, a real special treat, Amit Peled, internationally acclaimed cellist from Israel, is going to play selections from the Bach cello suites. He's got a new and beautiful recording of those pieces, and we'll get a little preview tomorrow right here in Studio A on Midday. Lunch for our guests today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park, celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their year-long 75th anniversary celebration. For details, you can visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next after the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.